This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour two as we roll along this morning. Glad you be with us on SportsMap Radio. All right, coming up, we got the good, the bad, and the dumb. Ryan Aber is going to join us from the Oklahoman. We're going to talk Big 12 football as they had media days wrap up on Thursday in Arlington, Texas. They had 14 teams. They all got it done, seven every single day, and got their previews in, and now they're ready for the season. They are excited. They have got so many big plans. They've talked about bringing in Gonzaga for basketball. They've talked about expanding and playing games in Mexico. They think their future is bright. But how much of that is show, really? Because Texas and Oklahoma, that's not just losing two teams. That's losing two mega teams, big teams. And you can replace them with cities like Cincinnati, a school in a major city, or Orlando, UCF, BYU, Houston, of course, one of the largest markets in America. But in the end, you're losing two huge, huge brands. So is it rosy still, or is it still like we're just putting lipstick on a pig right now? We're going to lose these teams, and it might take a while for we to have an identity that people recognize, but losing these two teams is going to hurt. It's going to hurt a bit. No matter how much spin we put on it, next season when these two teams are gone and we're down to 12 teams with the addition of these four, you know, what is it going to look like? So we'll talk to Ryan Aber about that from the Oklahoman. And now it's time to look on of the stuff that we've learned with the AFC East. And we started this week with the Buffalo Bills on Monday. It led us to the Jets yesterday. Yesterday, Quinnen Williams of the Jets signed a contract extension. He was going into the final year of his rookie contract. He gets $66 million of it guaranteed. He becomes the second highest paid defensive tackle in the NFL. He's had 25 sacks over the first three seasons. So the Jets were... We were talking about the Jets yesterday saying, you know what, Aaron Rodgers got a lot of weapons around him. It looks like a team that is just ready to pop with a brand new quarterback, albeit including a four-time MVP. But this division is still tough, and it's hard to gauge because the Dolphins and the Bills are teams that have this pretty good projection, right? The Bills have been winning this division since the Patriots took a step back. They have been a team that's been on the cusp of a Super Bowl. They haven't quite crossed over that Rubicon yet. They've come very close. But the Dolphins were a team that went out and just built its talent, just went out and said, screw it, I don't care. We're going out and getting people. We're going to go get people, and it doesn't, whatever the cost, we're going to make these trades. We're going to find teams that are as desperate to get rid of some talent because for whatever circumstances, they got to cut back some costs, they're going in another direction, whatever it may be. And they went and knocked on the Denver Broncos last year at the deadline and got Bradley Chubb. And then they went to the Rams this offseason and got Jalen Ramsey. And they're willing to say, look, we are putting a team together. We have got good defensive players. We have got fantastic offensive players. This Tua Tagovailoa, if healthy, is going to throw to two dynamic wide receivers. We've got one of the fastest guys in the league in Tyreek Hill. We've got Jalen Waddle. We have got players on this team now that should be competitive so that we are in a position so that we're not as streaky as we were before. And then there's the Jets. Now, I don't mean any insult to the Patriots. I know Bill Belichick can surprise you a little bit. He can have a team that pops in and makes a mess of all of this. But I think this is a three-team division. I think this is a three-team race. And the Jets are a team that has piqued my interest because how much can you go from, look, we're building, we go up, we fail, we look good, we don't look good, to we're a Super Bowl contending team with Aaron Rodgers. Now, I know it's going to be, it's not an apples-to-apples comparison, but it's still fruit-to-fruit. They did this one time before in their history with Brett Favre, right? Where they thought Brett Favre coming here is going to be the game changer. Now, this is not exactly the same comparison because, as mentioned, he wanted to go play for Minnesota and ended up doing that. But the Jets are going to have Aaron Rodgers for what? 2 years tops? If that, 3 years tops? I mean, Rodgers is getting in the 40s. I don't see Rodgers as that Brady guy that's like, man, if I could just keep playing, I'll just keep playing until my body stops. But if Rodgers, in his first year, is showing that the Jets really are a team to contend with. That second year might be the one where I go, I'm more believing in that. First year, I'm not sure yet if this is a team that is going to beat Buffalo, despite some of the issues with Stephon Diggs, beat Miami with everything there. I think it takes a little bit more seasoning in the pan. Does that make sense? Where I just don't think you've got Buffalo, and they've had great teams, and they can't get to the Super Bowl. Miami is a team that's not been in that mix, but people really like the trajectory. I love Aaron Rodgers, but if he couldn't get the Packers back to the Super Bowl, why am I thinking that immediately he goes to a tough AFC and gets the Jets to the Super Bowl, even though Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall and Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed and Quinn Williams, these guys are great. These guys are great. This is a good team to have. And, oh, by the way, Alan Lazard's on the team. Randall Cobb is on the team. They might use Mecole Hardman in a way that's effective. What makes me think that that's like the Jets are a Super Bowl contending team in a very tough AFC and obviously in a very tough AFC East? I think that team needs just a little more seasoning. That's just the way I'm looking at it. I think Buffalo's...
I'm with you because as much as, you know, I can't remember who the guy we had on yesterday for the Jets.
It's Eric Allen.
Eric Allen. Yeah, not Eric Reed.
Eric Allen.
He really, I mean, what he had to say and then what you followed up with too, talking about is like, I started to get more on the Jets fence.
Right.
But I can't jump over the fence because I just can't see it. I mean, unless something catastrophic happens, unless, you know, a dolphin gets hurt. We know who. I'm not going to mention names because every single time I mention a name, I get called out by Philip. So I'm not going to mention any names, Philip. But, you know, if a certain dolphin was to go down or a certain bill was to go down, I think then the Jets have a chance. But I don't see it in that division. And I don't see three teams coming out of the AFC East.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'd love to be wrong. I'd love for all three and even the Patriots to sort of make a little noise. I think I like chaos in that situation.
Yeah.
I like that. It's not, none of those teams are mine. I don't have to worry about it.
I can see.
I'm not going to stress out about it. I'm just going to enjoy the ride. But I just think that year two with Rodgers is probably going to be a little better to navigate.
As opposed to replicating what Tom Brady did when he went to the Buccaneers.
Right. I think I don't think that's likely to happen. I think that one of the things that we talked about with Brady when he went to Tampa Bay was, you know, there were all those teams in that division were still sort of sorting themselves out a little bit. It looked like it was a winnable division when Brady got there. Right. This is not the case. The Jets don't automatically become the division favorite just because he's arrived. Like, you still have a 13-3 Buffalo team, and they may be bickering amongst themselves about exactly what does Stephon Diggs want and how unhappy he is, and they may still have that. But if they resolve that, that's still a 13-win football team. The Miami Dolphins went 9-8 last year with a quarterback that was in and out of the lineup. If he stays healthy, what does that translate to?
Yeah.
This is not going to be just plug and play Rodgers into the Jets and boom, they're going to just win this thing. It's not going to work that way. That way in the AFC.
And
they have a better chance without
and
question.
And I'll give them that. They'll have a better chance. They'll have a much better chance than they did with Zach Wilson.
Yeah. And if you are a team right now in the AFC that has a lot of questions, this is not the time to have questions. This is not a conference right now where you are going to have to sort some stuff out. The Jets got their quarterback. That's what they needed. They went 7-10. They lost six games by one score. Quarterback play was a mess. They didn't have any confidence in it. And Aaron Rodgers is going to make them a potential playoff team and maybe make them a potential Super Bowl team. They're in the mix. But I'm not going to – it's not as simple as saying the Jets got their guy and now everyone has to find a way to beat them. I think that –
yeah,
even
I don't think
if
it elevates
you get
them
out
that
of this,
much.
It's still a Cincinnati-Kansas City conference,
mm-hmm.
right? Again, it doesn't mean you can't beat them. We've seen that happen a million times.
You know, and then like we were saying yesterday, when you look at the conference, you have two teams that have been slowly rising. One took meteoric steps last year in Jacksonville. You know, I mean, they – Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson, this is a winning combination now.
Yeah, they've
figured it out.
I'm really excited for them because that was a team last year that looked like, at times, like the old Jaguars, right, winning, losing. And then there was an opening because Tennessee lost Ryan Tannehill and started losing games.
Yeah.
And when Tennessee lost seven in a row to close out the season, and then Jacksonville started winning and started winning, and then next thing you know, they're playing each other on the final week of the season with the playoffs on the line. Win, you win the division. Lose, you don't make the playoffs. And Jacksonville won that. And then beating the Chargers, the way they beat the Chargers, and then going to Kansas City, and I thought they played good against Kansas City. I thought they
when
played...
When did they beat the Chargers, Tony? I don't remember that game.
I know you don't. I know you don't. But I thought they played well against the Chiefs. They didn't win, but remember that was... Remember Patrick Mahomes was hurt, you know, they're trying to take... But the reality of it is that that does a lot for the team going into the offseason. There was a feeling like, it, you know what, in the end it didn't matter how we won the division, what we looked like winning the division. We did it. We got to the playoffs. We got a taste of that. Now we should be the favorite. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Jacksonville is bringing to this larger conversation of what the AFC is. But if I were to pick a winning team out of the AFC East based on just what we have today, we'll see how the season plays out. I'm going with the Dolphins. I do believe that when people put, you know, these you just put pile talent on, yeah, there's a danger to that not working. But you know what? The way Mike McDaniel and this team has integrated key parts, key players, yeah, I think it's going to work. I think it's going to continue to work. So that's where I'm leaning towards. Good, the Bad, and the Dumb is coming up next, and then we'll talk Big 12 football. The hour continues on Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, enjoy the good, the bad, and the dumb because Ron's going away for vacation this weekend. It's going to be gone for a while.
Yeah.
Man, you got a lot of good, the bad, and the dumb when you get back, man.
I will have to keep tabs on some of the stories that will probably be missed while I'm gone.
Least of your concern when you're enjoying family time.
That'll give me something to do
in
Hawaii. It'll give me something to do when I'm doing nothing.
When you're doing nothing, of course. That's the beauty of vacation.
Yeah, that's what I'll peruse stories and think to myself, that would make a good, bad, or dumb.
Well, the good is that a hardworking guy like you is going to get to a nice vacation. But yeah. What is the real good of the day?
The real good of the day. I have to do it. I have to do it, Tony. Phillip Rivers.
Oh, yes. Well done.
Congratulations to Phillip Rivers and his wife, Tiffany. They are expecting their 10th child.
Well played, man.
He now has the offense he's always been looking for.
Well done. That family is getting it done.
And in case you didn't know, or if you're curious, the age ranges for all the previous nine range from 21 being the oldest and 4 being the second youngest now.
That's great. So he's spaced them out enough where, like, one goes out on their own and they don't need, like, a mini bus now?
They don't need to add a room?
Yeah, they just go, yeah. We don't need to build another one on the
mansion. 21-year-old, I'm assuming she's in college.
Yeah, I'm assuming she's out.
No idea on what the sex of the child is. It's just, I didn't look hard enough. Maybe it was said.
Are there any twins or triplets in this process?
No, they are not.
They're not?
No. I mean, maybe Irish twins.
Man.
Because he has Haley, I'm going to say Haley's 21, then Caroline and Grace. Caroline is 18. Grace is 17. Maybe Irish twins because they're very, very close in age. This baby will be due as expected in October.
Is he still a high school coach?
He is still a high school coach. Yes, he is.
That's what he was doing, right?
How much are you going to afford 10 kids? You got to keep working.
The NFL pension only does so much.
It's not like he made real money in his career.
Yeah, exactly. Well played.
Yeah.
Well played, Phillip Rivers.
So, I mean, you have to highlight it, right?
You do. That's great.
You got 10 kids. Awesome. I can't even fathom 5.
I have
3.
Yeah.
And sometimes 3 is too much.
I know. I hear you, brother. I hear you.
You sit back sometimes, you go, 2. We have family friends. They have 1 kid. I'm like, you know how easy that is?
We have friends with 5, and it's like we've been talking to them about, because their youngest is getting married in a couple weeks. And I thought to myself, I told her, I said, our friend, I said, you know, in a couple of years when now you're all your kids are gone, one of them is not married, but four of them are, you're going to have like an ocean of grandkids at Christmas time. Like the rivers in 10 years, no, not 10 years, because this has got a baby. Maybe 25 years from now,
yeah,
they might be swimming with like 20 grandkids they may running have, around the complex.
Let's be real, Tony. 21-year-old, say, you know, she finds the love of her life and decides to have a kid right away and says, Mom, Dad, I'm going to compete with your 10.
Yeah, right.
Just hypothetically, she has her first kid at 25. That means that little baby's only 5, right? The one that isn't born yet is 5. So by the time that one has a kid, oldest could be a grandmother.
That's right. That's right.
So you could have grandkids same age as great-grandkids if you're the Rivers.
That's right. You could. And what if every child says, I'm going to have 10 kids too, and you have 100 grandchildren coming home for Christmas, and you can't even know them all?
Good Lord.
Are you Timmy or Tommy? I'm Tommy. Nah, sorry. Grandpa's getting too old.
Yep.
Exactly. And you know, like, grandparents like to give you a little money, give grandkids a little money, like, here's a little money. You got to go to the bank.
It will be a shiny nickel for them.
You got to go, Tiffany, you go to the bank and I need $1,000 in ones and fives.
Exactly.
To give all my grandchildren when they get here. Oh, my goodness. That is crazy.
Well, thankfully he has the money.
That's awesome. Love him. Yeah. Love, good.
10
good.
Kids. So congrats, well Philip Rivers.
Well done. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day. It happened. Strike.
Yeah, I saw this. I saw a bunch of actors supporting this.
So, well, because the actors are on strike as well.
Right.
It was originally just a writer's
just
strike.
Just the writers, right?
But SAG, the Screen Actors Guild, their contract expired not last night, the night before. They decided yesterday morning that they were going to strike.
So what does this mean to a guy like me?
What this means to a guy like you is that there will be no red carpet appearances, no Emmy pitches. That's the immediate effect. Like last night, Oppenheimer premiered.
Right.
You know, we just got done talking about it. The cast walked off the red carpet in solidarity. Once it came down that the strike is now in effect, they didn't go to the movie. They walked immediately. They all walked off the red carpet together. I think kind of also to show the support because actors to do things for themselves.
Okay, give me a practical reason with this effect because I couldn't have cared less about
that's what I'm trying to find out.
Am I not getting television shows? Are we going to have a drought in movies?
Yes.
Okay,
what you'll see is what happened last time. You're going to see like an uptick in reality shows because really there's no writing involved.
Right, exactly.
You know, production-wise, production studios can still operate, especially on reality shows. Now, there are some things that won't be affected, like House of Dragons, if you're into that show. Season 2 is going to go on without any hitch.
So,
because they are not a part of the Screen Actors Guild or the Writers Guild, they're their own separate guild since it's filmed in England.
Okay,
so this is mainly American stuff.
I may be asking the wrong person, but I mean, I'm just going to ask this anyway. So if you don't know, you don't know. That's cool.
Yeah.
Is this similar to like NFL players when they went on strike? They got scab players. Can people go? Well, we'll find
Funny
actors
that
are
you
not
mentioned that because the studios are toying with the idea. One of the things, well, it's not to replace actors, but it's one of the reasons why the actors are striking is that instead of studios having to pay background actors,
right?
What they're thinking about doing is filming the background actors, and then using AI to just regenerate them for their purposes in other TV shows or movies.
Here we go.
And just using, just re-imaging them all throughout different things, but keeping all the rights, never paying the actor whose likeness they took.
Right.
So it's almost like this, like an NIL deal. No, you can't have scab actors.
You can't have stars. You're not getting any stars. Nobody's crossing the line.
Anyone that's part of SAG, and that's the problem, is that you want to be a part of SAG. I always remember this. Being a part of SAG was always a catch-22. Because you can't be a member of SAG unless you have worked X amount of hours on a show, and you
right.
can't work X amount of hours on a show unless you're a SAG member. They still have not cleared that
up. It's weird, yeah. Like, my sister was in SAG when but I don't think she is anymore because she doesn't do any work. But she did a lot of little works here and there, and I remember her telling me she had to join. She had to join. There's no other choice. And then, you know, like, you can't even go to the craft table unless you're SAG.
Right.
On set. And because she was on set once without being SAG, and when she went to grab a cup of coffee, somebody said, "Are you SAG?" And she said, "Yes."
Yeah.
She wasn't. But then she became a member, and she became in part of the union. And she's like, "Yeah, the perks are you need to do it. You need
to." I was able to go to the craft table when they were filming a movie at my house.
They better let you go to the table.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. I can't even use my own bathroom.
Yeah, but. All right. So, yeah, but.
So, I mean, there's not going to be, I think for us, you know, depending on how long this goes, but this is, you know, last time this happened, and that's why we got American Gladiators. So maybe we'll get another American Gladiators, and that's why I think reality TV shows will still be okay.
Okay. So let me, real quick, I know you said the last time that happened, American Gladiators, that was in the 80s. Why do I feel pops up all the time?
Remember the newer one, the re-release? It was like in 2007.
Oh, I got it. But
happened in the late 80s, too.
I feel like this is in the news all the time. Like, there's always Actors Guild, like Writers Strike.
For whatever reason,
it's a returning story.
It's like baseball. It's, you know, the collective bargaining agreements that are always signed. They're only for a couple of years, and they realize the mistakes they made in the first one or the concessions they made, and now they're wanting something new. And that's what's happening here is, you know, I mean, a lot of it is money. You know, it always comes down to money. They're feeling studio execs are raking in billions of dollars. Like, Disney profited billions of dollars as a company. Yet they're still going to be laying people off.
Yeah, yeah. Brad Pitt told a story once when he was first in Hollywood. He was in a movie where he was pouring water at a restaurant. He didn't have a speaking role. Very, very, very early in his career. And he said they did a number of takes, and then he decided he was going to sneak in a line. And so the woman held a glass and she poured it, and she was supposed to say thank you. He wasn't supposed to say anything, but he said like something like "you're welcome." And the director went, "Cut, cut! Do not say another word, or I'll kick you off the." If you say a word in a movie, it's a whole other. It's a whole different.
No, then,
pay structure.
Then you get a credit.
You get a credit. So you know, and young people in Hollywood, they're like, "Oh, I don't know the rules. You know, I'm trying to sneak this." Directors, though, they know the rules. So don't try to sneak lines if you're asked to be an extra in a movie, like a background noise. All right, we'll continue next.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsNet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we continue. It's Wake Up Call on SportsNet Radio. Good, the bad, and the dumb. We've got the dumb segment. Again, final one before Ron goes on vacation, so cherish these. What is the dumb of the day?
Well, I had to put a unique spin on it because I think it's awesome.
Okay.
Right? And you and I, if you know, we got to figure out some way sometime for people to listen to us during the break. Because sometimes some of our best conversations are during the break.
Oh, I know.
But we were talking about Friends.
Right.
And you were mentioning, like, when that show first started, some of those actors were just dirt poor.
Dirt poor.
But it's not necessarily about that. It was about the fact that, you know, the producers, the studio execs, whoever it might have been, took the cast of Friends to Vegas.
Just before filming,
because they said, like, do this because your life is never going to be the same.
It's good. Yeah, exactly. So enjoy yourself, have fun.
And enjoy the, anonymity?
Anonymity.
Yeah. I can't say. It's like,
right.
You know what I'm trying to say, kid.
But they gave them money to gamble.
Right.
They're like, here, you guys are broke.
But it was the fact that they can walk through the casino virtually unknown.
Right.
That leads me to the dumb of the day. Because if you ever wondered why a certain star player chose Inter Miami to come to the United States and play and share his talents, look no further than yesterday where he was spotted, and I'm talking about Messi, where he was spotted at a Publix grocery store grocery shopping like a normal person would. And sure, a fan or two went up to him to snap a photo, but he virtually was unknown in that store.
I am surprised by this, but not surprised by this. I'm working the double angle here. Like, on the one hand, I'm like, he is a global sports icon. Like, it's very difficult to – it's not everybody, but it's very rare to go – if you are in a room of 50 people, if you're a global icon in anything, that not five people recognize you. But on the other hand, I'm like, no, I'm also not surprised by it because I do understand the American culture that we just – he's not Patrick Mahomes to a lot of people. You know what I mean?
He's not like, say, you know, an NBA star like Shaq or somebody walking through the store that, you know, you see a 7-foot guy, you're going to be like, okay, who is that?
Yeah, and he's not Mr. Beast either.
No.
Who was talking about he can't take a photograph with somebody because they posted on Instagram or whatever, and next thing you know, security is ushering him out of the mall.
Right.
Like, but he should be.
And no, but he very well, he might be, but it also may be the place he's choosing. Because, you know, I'm looking at the Publix, and there were a few elderly people in the background of this photo.
That's right.
And I'm assuming that there aren't followers of soccer.
No, here's the other thing. Always remember this too. Even if they were, they're just too old to get a snapshot Instagram.
They don't care.
They're just like, it's messy. I'm 72 years old. What am I supposed to drool?
Yeah.
Like, what am I supposed to, like, I've seen it all.
Oh, my God, it's messy.
Like, I'm not losing my mind because of a famous person.
You know what it is? It's your grandmother getting a photo with someone. It's like, oh, I met the nicest gentleman today.
Yeah, I missed the nicest young man.
Yeah, he plays a sport. I can't remember what sport it was, but he said he's pretty good at it. And showing her grandson this is my photo with him. And the grandson looking at him like, you realize that's the most popular person on the planet?
I would not be surprised if his team said, that's the Publix you want to go to, man.
Yeah.
The one you want to go to.
I mean, it's very weird looking because you can totally tell it's him. And he's just sitting there pushing a shopping cart. He's got groceries in the bag and the cart. And he's on his way out. And it's just looking like your average Joe.
Yep, exactly.
Just normal. And, that's why I'm saying it's like, you know, I put it in the dumb category just because if you – you know, people are going to question, why didn't he go to Saudi Arabia and make, you know, be paid $1 billion just to play soccer over there? It's like, he's made a lot of money. He has more than enough money. He has generation wealth now. You know, several generations after him can live freely. But coming here, his family seems like they can live a normal life.
It's a very desirable thing to be able to have some level of
anywhere
feeling.
Else in the world, he's right. I guarantee, I mean, like when he lived in Spain, when he lived in France, he probably had people shopping for him because he'd get mauled at a store.
Sure.
And so now he can, you know, it's like do those things that it was like the Prince and the Pauper type of thing.
Yeah, it's amazing because I'm a little surprised, but I'm not surprised. Like they knew that there were going to be opportunities for this to happen for him, and it happened immediately. By the way, when is he going to play for this team?
I think he's making his debut. I think towards the end of July.
End of July, okay.
Yeah, I think that's the last I heard about it.
All right, very good. So. I'll be playing in. Yeah, it's a very I don't know. I mean, I've been around covering sports for a long time, so I've seen crowds just everywhere when I leave arenas and they're waiting and waiting and waiting. And, you know, you go to, events. You've seen it, too, in Houston where you go, hey, our radio station is going to be at this place and so-and-so is going to stop by and the crowd is intense. It's insane. It's got to, after a while, that loses its luster, right? It loses its cool factor. When you're young and you're an athlete, it's kind of neat. People lining up to see you. But after a while, you're like, I gain nothing from this but headache. And like I've said, I've signed millions of autographs. I've shaken many hands. I've said thank you to many, too many people. Like eventually it gets to a point where you go, I can't do it anymore, you know?
All right, so just in case you were curious, his debut is July 21st.
That's like next week.
Next Friday.
That's a week from today.
Yeah. And you can still get tickets. If you thought the game was sold out, you can still get tickets.
Oh, I'm surprised you can get tickets.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Face value for the ticket is $200.
Oh, okay. That's not bad for the debut
bad,
of Messi.
But I think that's way up there.
To say you were there. Oh, yeah, no doubt. Oh, I thought the switchboard went off the hook, though. I think most people thought,
and I guess there's a few tickets remaining. Not a lot, but there's just a few.
That's great. Catch
him at a Publix.
I'm actually really curious about his effect. I want to hear about stadiums around the country that his team goes to. Like when he goes to, say, I don't know what teams are on the rest of his calendar. So I'm just making these up, like Colorado or St. Louis or Nashville or Atlanta, New England, places like that. When he's on the road, what will that effect be?
The
Messi effect. I'm really curious as to what that will look like. What people will say. When it builds a little bit of steam and people go, one of the greatest whoever plays is playing on this team in MLS now. That's pretty, I'm curious to see that. But I got mistaken for a New England Patriots kicker early in my career.
Nice.
Yeah. I was at a Patriots game. I was 25 or so. And I walked out of the tunnel and I was going to my car, which was a station vehicle with its logos all over it. And I was carrying the...
Well, that's what Patriot kickers drive,
stuff,
Tony.
Right. And I was walking to the car, and these two girls came up to me, and they asked me for my autograph. And I said, why? And they said, aren't you the kicker? And the only reason they came to me to ask me, because their boyfriends told them I was the kicker. They didn't know. They had no idea who the kicker was. They had no idea. They weren't enamored that I was the kicker. They weren't waiting for me because they were waiting for the kicker. Just two guys in the parking lot waiting for traffic to diminish told their girlfriends, hey, that's a player. And because I don't look like an NFL player, they went with, he must kick the ball. So they thought I was the kicker. And I said, no, I'm not the kicker. And I said, I actually work for that station right there, that car right over there. And then they left. That was it. That was the end of it.
I want to get mistaken for somebody. That's never happened to me.
My Dave Preston, who comes on WTOP,
yep,
gave me a lot of crap for that. He said, you should have signed those autographs.
Of course you should have.
And he goes, why did you tell them you just were a radio guy? Why didn't you just play it up? What do they care? I go, I know. The more I think about it, I should have.
They probably would have went crazy that, he's a radio guy.
I think Matt Barr was the kicker at the time, the former Giant kicker. I think it was Matt Barr, Chris Barr. Remember the Barrs? Chris Barr played for the Steelers. Remember the Barrs?
Kind of.
I think it was Matt Barr that. And by the way, Matt Barr, I
remember
the
Barrs, Tony.
I think Matt Barr at the time was in his 30s. And I looked like a kid. So, but they didn't look at me.
I guess it wasn't a flattering mistaken identity?
No,
is that what you're saying?
It was very simple.
What happened was, I was an old man.
They didn't know, and you shouldn't know, it's not one of the things you would know. They didn't know media people come out of that tunnel too. They only saw Patriot players come out of that place. And the two guys were like, you don't look like a linebacker. Too ugly to be the quarterback. Definitely doesn't look like a lineman or a defensive back. You know what? He looks like he kicks. Punter or kicker? What do you think, Joe? Let's go kicker.
And let's be honest.
Girls, go get his autograph. He's the kicker.
And football players are the hardest to recognize because you don't ever really see their face.
That's very true. So, but no, stupid me went, I'm just a lowly radio reporter taking my company van back to the station. Sorry about that, ladies. I hope you have a great night and hope to see you again here at Foxborough. That's what I did.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, it's about that time of the year where media days are going to go on around the country, getting you ready for college football. The Big 12 had theirs in Texas as they wrapped up 14 teams now in the Big 12. Of course, they're losing two next year. But let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making things even easier. We'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at Progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Ryan Aber joins us, the Oklahoman, to talk Big 12 football. How are you, Ryan?
Doing great. Glad to be back from Arlington, but always an interesting experience down there at the Big 12 Media Days. Seems like it happens earlier and earlier every year, but football's right around the corner.
Well, let's talk about the atmosphere there. Now, there's two things that were going on, so give me your take on how you felt the atmosphere was. One, Texas and Oklahoma are going to be leaving, and then you had the addition of these four teams. How did the atmosphere balance out with those two things coming together?
Yeah, I think clearly there's a lot of excitement about the four new members, BYU, Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF. We're all really excited to be there, especially BYU, who has been an independent, so they haven't had any kind of conference media day to deal with. Obviously, having it at Jerry World is a little bit of a spectacle down there, so that was interesting. And then for Texas and OU, I think the tone has shifted a little bit. There's, a couple years ago, it was, oh, what is this league going to do? They're in trouble with no OU in Texas, and now that they've got those four and gotten some stability and even the possibility of expanding further, there's I think a mutual understanding that it's everything's going to work out on both sides, and the Big 12 was able to acknowledge OU in Texas in a way that maybe they didn't a year ago, and it just seems like there's more excitement for this year versus thinking 2 or 3 years down the road and what's going to happen.
Was there any shots taken at Texas and Oklahoma from any of the stable coaches that have been in the conference for a while?
Oh, I think the closest thing is just Mike Gundy
talking
about Bedlam, and to be fair to Mike, he was asked about it just dozens of times, and his answer was very consistent. And his answer, on its face at least, is true. He said Bedlam was over because OU was leaving for the SEC, and he's right because Oklahoma State's schedule, non-conference-wise, is set through, I think it's 2030, so there's not a whole lot of openings to insert Bedlam in there as a non-conference game. I know some OU fans took it, maybe as him whining about them leaving or things like that. I didn't take it that way. I just took it as him, laying things out. Now, Mike Gundy meeting Mike Gundy, sometimes not going to get the benefit of the doubt, especially from Sooners fans. But that was certainly interesting. It got brought up a whole lot less yesterday when OU was going. Brent Venables was asked about it once, and I believe that was about it. But during the Wednesday session with Oklahoma State, it was asked over and over and over, and Mike Gundy had to keep coming up with different ways to answer the question.
We were talking about this kind of earlier this morning. There used to be a time, obviously, way back, not that far back, but you could see a team and say, well, they did really well last year, but they lost these players to graduation. And what does that mean? But now with transfer portal, it's like we're plugging and playing different guys, and it's hard to keep rosters straight. But overall, who do you feel like is a team that may have lost some people, but it's not going to hurt them as much as it might have been 5 years ago?
Yeah, well, honestly, I think every team's like that. I mean, just the way that college football has evolved, it's become almost a free agent season, and I think it does some really good things for college football in that it's hard to predict things anymore.
Yeah.
It used to be fairly easy to say, oh, these teams are going to finish near the top of the conference and these teams are going to be at the bottom. Well, those transfers can fit in well and really turn a team or help turn a team around quickly, or they can bring in players who you think are going to have big impacts, and then the chemistry is not quite there, and things fall apart. So I think it's made clearly there's some difficulties with it, and there's some things that need to be refined. But at the same time, I think it's made college football much more exciting. I mean, heck, we look at what TCU was able to do a year ago and the run that they were able to make. Clearly, they've lost a lot of people. We'll see how their quarterback play is in particular, but they've also got a lot of pieces back. Now, Kansas State's a really intriguing team to me with the guys that they have coming back, some of the ones that they've added, including the running back for Florida State, who scored a couple touchdowns against OU in the Cheez-It Bowl just a few months ago. But in my mind, Kansas State and Texas probably are at the top of the conference, and then everybody else falls in line behind that. But you know, a team that I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do this year is Texas Tech. And I think they've got some pieces back that, you know, set them up in a position to be in a pretty good place at the end of the season. I'm not sure that they'll make it to Arlington for the first time, but certainly they're one of those teams right there in that mix with what Joey McGuire's doing.
What of the four teams that are coming in, and they've all had some successes in the last couple of years, but which do you feel is more ready for what the Big 12 and that level of teams week in and week out is going to bring them? Is it Houston, UCF, BYU, or Cincinnati? Which ones do you feel like is more ready for this?
Yeah, I think Central Florida is the one that's the most ready right now. Clearly, they've got the better recruiting base. Well, I mean, Houston obviously has a really good one as well. But UCF, with you know, what they've been able to build down there, obviously Gus Malzahn is a guy who's really familiar with Power 5 football and a little bit with Big 12 football. And I think that they've got a chance to at least compete solidly. Now, I don't think any of those four are in position to make a run to Arlington this year. You know, just timing-wise, I don't think it worked out for them. Obviously, Cincinnati and a lot of transition time with the switch to Scott Satterfield. But I think Cincinnati and UCF especially have a chance to compete in this league near the top here in the next couple of years at least.
You mentioned Texas Tech. Is there another team that could pull the TCU scenario where we don't really know much about them, and then next thing you know, we're all buzzing about them?
Well, I think it's hard to imagine that kind of scenario with a team making a run toward a national championship game. But, you know, a team that's really intriguing to me is Kansas.
I was just going to ask you about that, yeah.
You look at the quarterback play there. Jalen Daniels, when he was healthy last year, was absolutely fantastic. And heck, Jason Bean was pretty darn good. You know, actually had a better quarterback rating than Jalen Daniels did. But Jalen Daniels gives them an element that just makes them dangerous against anybody. And if he's able to stay healthy, I think they're going to be a little bit better defensively this year under Lance Leopold. And you know, the biggest thing I think is that this team has confidence. And even though they lost, what was it, seven of their last eight games last year, the Liberty Bowl, with the way that they were able to come back, they played a lot of close games, and a lot of those were, again, without Jalen Daniels. I think that they've got a chance to have another turnaround kind of season there in Lawrence.
Real quick, what did Steve Sarkisian say about Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning? People are going to want to know the Arch Manning situation. It's early, I get it, but is there a battle, or is it Ewers' job and that's it?
Yeah, I think you know, there's going to be at least some opening there, but I think it's Quinn Ewers' job for right now, and he would have to slip for Arch Manning to get his chance. And I think it's, you know, sort of a similar thing, not exactly the same, but similar with OU, with Dylan Gabriel and Jackson Arnold waiting in the wings. Now, obviously, the fact that Dylan Gabriel only has a year of eligibility remaining sort of changes that dynamic a little bit. But I think the thought is, you know, get Quinn Ewers the chance initially, but if he falls down, Arch Manning's going to be there waiting in the wings and ready to jump in there. And it could be a situation like we had with Caleb Williams and Spencer Rattler a couple of years ago, where once Arch Manning gets that chance, it could be tough to pry him away from that position.
All right, Ryan Aber, great stuff. Really appreciate it. Feels like the temperature is doing pretty well in the Big 12. Thank you so much for your time, my man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. All right, we will continue. Hour 3 coming up next. It is Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. A little bit more from the NFL as we got the Miami Dolphins guest to preview them, even though on Tuesday we kind of did a preview of them. But we'll get a full picture on the Dolphins. And more thoughts on the Big 12, because I think it's fascinating to lose two teams like Texas and Oklahoma, but there's a temperature there, like I mentioned earlier, that feels like there's a lot of things to look forward to. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. We'll